Now, why didn't they arrest Simon Peter for that? Well, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then we're told, Dr. Luke, you know, gives us that. He put the ear back on. They didn't arrest him, you see. Why? Because the Lord Jesus said, you let these men go. I've talked to God about them, my Father about them, and he's going to let them go. And you're going to let them go. And they let them go, my friends. Jesus is in charge. Oh, the dignity of this man, even in this hour when he yields himself to death for you and me. Simon Peter did well with the sword, I would say, because he was a fisherman, not a soldier. And he was accustomed to use a fishing net, but he was not good with a sword because he really only got the ear, but he went after the man's neck, and he only got the ear. And we're grateful for that. Our Lord told him to put up the sword. Why? Because of the fact that our Lord now is yielding himself into the hand of his captors. And he's getting ready, as he says, to take the cup which the Father hath given me. Now, what kind of a cup is this cup that he's talking about? And the other gospel writers tell us that was his prayer in the garden. Well, there are several cups that are mentioned in Scripture. I don't propose to say how many. Some think three, some four, some five. But let me just suggest several. There's, first of all, the cup of salvation. You remember the psalmist says in Psalm 116:13, I will take the cup of salvation and call unto the name of the Lord. And then there is the cup of consolation. It's called that in Jeremiah 16:7. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. And then you'll recall that the psalmist in Psalm 23:5 speaks of the fact, my cup runneth over, that cup of comfort and consolation. Now here is this cup. This is the cup that the Father has given him. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now that was a dreadful cup. It was an awful cup. And that is the cup of judgment that he bore for us on the cross. It's an awful cup. It's the judgment cup that everyone must take that turns their back on Jesus Christ. But this is the cup, actually, that only he could drink, and in the way he did, because his perfect humanity, his sinless life, absolutely, it turned in rejection from that cup. He responded to it by it being repulsive and being hateful to him because it is the cup of your sin and my sin. And then, of course, there's the cup of judgment that is yet to come on this world. I think that's what the seven vials, which are really bowls of wrath that are to be poured upon the wicked. And the psalmist again, it says, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. And by the way, that's Psalm 11:6. And it's the wine cup of the fury that's in his hand. But notice how he speaks of this cup here. Shall I not drink this cup that my Father, not the judge, shall give me, but my Father shall give me? And this is not a cup of, actually, in the final analysis of reluctance, it was for the joy that was set before him. And this is the highest willingness. What he's really saying is just simply this. He says, shall I not drink this cup my Father gives me? Since my Father's giving it to me, I'm going to drink it. And there's no willingness as high as that. It's not as if he said, my Father commanded me to do it, he's the judge, and I'm going to drink it. That's not the thought here at all, by the way. I thought it was important to emphasize that because this is so misunderstood.